is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
San Francisco. The Hilton Financial District in San Francisco has defaulted on a $97 million loan, reflecting ongoing challenges in the city's real retail and tourism sectors. The hotel reported a revenue decline and net operating loss in the third quarter of 23, and the 24 convention calendar is lighter than in 23, impacting big business. This is San Francisco, often talked of as the doom loop because of problems having to do with governance on the streets of San Francisco and retailers fleeing. However, I welcome Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scholar.com. This is the Scholar Report, a global technology firm with business on all the major continents. And Chris, you and I have been talking about commercial real estate, which the Hilton qualifies for, you tell me, a year and a half. The reason is not to do with the doom loop of San Francisco. It's with the change of work habits after the pandemic. Large buildings in major cities, New York is the one I'm most familiar with, are half occupied or two-thirds occupied. Sometimes they come in Mondays and Tuesdays. Sometimes they don't come in at all. That has meant that these buildings are vastly underutilized, and yet the mortgages are held by major property owners. Is the San Francisco default different than that, or is this representative of what we're seeing across the country? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. In San Francisco, it's an accelerated version of what you're seeing in other areas of the country. I can say from personal experience, as the pandemic started, we closed our office in San Francisco, moved our employees out of that region because there are problems with safety of people commuting back and forth to work and didn't want to put our employees in a bad spot. With San Francisco, with work from home, with the pandemic, with crime, with homelessness epidemic there, that has accelerated that issue in San Francisco. But the retail and commercial real estate challenge that's coming is not simply a real estate issue, but it will quickly become a financial issue. All of those commercial mortgage-backed securities are now being written down in value, and that will create a massive wave of disruption in the banking sector that's likely to hit later this year and into 2025.
The Wall Street Journal reporting, the troubled commercial real estate market is bracing for a record amount of maturing loans, boosting the prospect of a surge in defaults as property owners are forced to refinance at higher rates. In 23, writes the Journal, $541 billion in debt, backed by office buildings, hotels, apartments, and other types of commercial real estate came due, the highest amount ever for a single year. Commercial debt maturities are expected to continue rising, with more than $2.2 trillion coming to due between now and the end of 27. And if I understand, all of this isn't going to fail, but a deal of it is. And the bankers are responsible. The high interest rates are responsible. They can see this coming. They've got calendars. What is driving this, Chris?
John, now you're starting to enter a cycle of fear, and that drives the greatest danger. We're routinely seeing examples of buildings that may be profitable, may be viable, but banks are starting to write off the sector and not loan in the sector. So that could accelerate the crash or accelerate the correction, where in a San Francisco, in a New York, it's understood that there will be very large write-downs on buildings that might be 50%, 60%, 70%. But in busier environments, Atlanta, Chicago, others, you still have bankers that are afraid to loan on commercial real estate because of the problem coming to the sector. And that's creating a credit crisis within commercial real estate where companies are not able to refinance, and then they're turning buildings back to the banks.
There was an example during the pandemic of a hotel in New York City. I recall the incident because when you reported it to me, we were at the depths of whether we're ever going to get out of the pandemic, whether we're ever going to return to Manhattan. I was there at the time, but the city streets were empty. An owner of a hotel chain, I can't recall what the chain was, just turning the keys over. What's the difference between defaulting on a loan such as San Francisco and turning the keys over? It sounds profound, but are you legally responsible for something in either instance?
So, John, in commercial real estate, there's a concept known as non-recourse loans, where many of the borrowers, if the building is no longer economically viable, have clauses in their mortgages where they can simply turn the keys back to the lender. In a default situation, the borrower is trying to work out or recapitalize or extend that loan, trying to work that through. When you turn the keys back in, you're simply walking away. What you're seeing now is borrowers trying to understand in this market, is there a bottom? Is it 50, 60, 70% off where buyers come back into the marketplace, which is the unknown? Until a bottom is established, that bottom will be established market by market. Everyone is afraid of simply toxic assets, not wanting to touch them, and then that just accelerates the discounting of the value of properties.
So we go to the company Blackstone, which is in the solar system, you'd have to say, a positive development when Blackstone owns something. This is the report we have most recently in the last hours. Sources close with Bloomberg said a $308 million mortgage on a Manhattan office tower owned by Blackstone is being marked at $150 million, or about a 50% haircut. The second attempt to sell the tower. Midloan Loan Services, a special servicer, hired brokerage Jones Lang LaSalle to sell the tower at 1740 Broadway. The debt is packaged into a commercial mortgage backed and marked at a 50% discount. Is that aggressive 50% discount, or is that defensive?
John, that's the unknown, to see if there will be any bidders at 50% and whether that establishes a indicator to say the market is off 50% in Manhattan, or if there are no bidders, they'll push it down. At some point, someone will likely buy it. Is that 50%, 70%, 80%? No one knows. So it's being very, very tightly watched.
What is the response from Washington on this? Is it ignoring the fact that our major cities are having these problems? I mean, we're not even mentioning the tax revenue fall off if these buildings go dark.
John, at the federal side, you're not seeing any kind of federal response yet. Obviously, you've seen in Washington, D.C., the mayor pleading with the federal government to send workers back to the office. But you're starting to see this collapse even in D.C., where large bellwether properties are starting to go up on the auction block or starting to face foreclosures, because the challenge is a universal challenge, and D.C. is part of that problem.
And a 50% markdown. Is that typical? Is that something we can generalize? Because I believe I remember a San Francisco building being marked down more than that, maybe 70 or 80%. But that I ignored that because it's San Francisco and it's so strange there. Are we looking at 70% in major cities that don't have San Francisco's problems?
John, I think it will be seen city by city. You may see a default in a Dallas or Houston that's maybe a 10% markdown. A San Francisco or New York could be 50, 60, 70%. Each market will be judged locally. The real question is for the lenders on those buildings, some may be banks, some may be pension funds, some may be investment funds or others. There's going to be huge losses on the values of those financial instruments. And what other waves of shock does that send throughout the economy?
The four cities that Zero Hedge identifies as the first to watch: Manhattan, San Francisco, Chicago, and Los Angeles. Chris Riegel, the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm. Scholar Report, I'm John Riegel.